Welcome back to the Printulu podcast. Printulu is passionate about helping small businesses grow their business in an omnichannel world. That is why we have started this podcast to help businesses navigate this difficult time. I am your host, Trudy Kutsia, and today I'm joined by Morole Matabata. He is the social media marketer at 1over1, a digital marketing and advertising agency in Gauteng. Before that, he was the customer acquisition specialist and co-founder at Walla Long Distance Ride Sharing App. And before that, even the founding digital marketing manager at My Campus Magazine. And on top of all of this, he has his MBA at Wits Business School, specializing in digital marketing and strategic business solutions. That is a mouthful, Morole. Thank you so much for joining me.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. And greetings to everybody.
Cool. So, Morole, just to give you a bit of a background, Printulu is an online printing company. We are big advocates for the omni-channel marketing approach, so having both offline and online marketing. And obviously, we've started this podcast now because a lot of business owners are really struggling to get through the COVID-19 situation, the pandemic. It's had such a massive impact. I mean, how are you guys doing?
I think coming from a digital marketing perspective, it becomes a bit easier to be working from home, and also most of the clients, you know, now that they can be deploying some other forms of marketing, so they deploying mainly digital marketing solutions. Of course, there would be some clients that come through and they're cutting budgets and things like that, but I think overall it's just been a, you know, just adjusting some strategies there and there, but in terms of it's work as usual in the digital marketing space for most businesses.
Wow, that's quite fortunate. So how would you advise businesses approach their marketing and design as well at the moment? I mean, we're obviously seeing a big shift at the moment to e-commerce. A lot of people are going online. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's exciting times. I mean, I was talking to, you know, a colleague of mine who's in e-commerce to say that at least what would happen is that this situation is giving us an opportunity now to be able to experience and to be able to sort of experiment with, you know, the digital side of things and also the e-commerce side of it, and all businesses going that route. So I would say, you know, of course, I'm also, you know, from the startup background, and I often say that, you know, it shouldn't be either. There should be some kind of lean approach to getting businesses online. So businesses shouldn't just go out there and then suddenly deploy a huge costing websites. And so I would say that the approach needs to be that, you know, you do it bit by bit. So if you were to say that you've got a Facebook page and then people are ordering, you know, let's say via telephone and WhatsApp, and then you're testing that, and then as you see that, okay, now this is really working, then you start deploying and going to for a website. So that's from an operation, you know, and the tech perspective. But I think from a graphic design and also, you know, a social approach, I would say that, you know, brands that I'm seeing online that are currently winning are brands that are now starting to be empathetic. You shouldn't approach it as if, you know, it's still the business as usual and just be that person who's in front of people and not being mindful of the situation that the whole world is currently going through.
Mm, absolutely. I mean, I think we've seen a few faux pas from brands being completely tone deaf and kind of just acting like nothing's happening. And I don't think it's gone very well received. But it's interesting that you mentioned taking a small approach. So we've seen now that Facebook has opened up their Facebook shop, which is quite interesting. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Yes. I was actually watching the live video when Mark Zuckerberg came through it. Yeah, I think we're starting to get to a point where we are asking, what is Facebook not doing? But I think it's a good thing for small businesses, and I like the fact that, you know, they rolled it out at the right time. Yeah, because now it's allowing small businesses to sort of quickly be able to go online, be able to deploy, you know, sort of an e-commerce store. And I think if you had already had that strong marketing approach that you were having, then at least this is allowing brands at that time to say, you know, quickly be able to go out there and then roll that out. And but I think secondly, it's a thing of at least now, you know, what else, it does not take a huge budget for brands to be able to launch online stores. I mean, what I like about digital and what the internet has done is that it has broken a lot of barriers to entry in a lot of industries, and I think Mark Zuckerberg is on the money with you know, rolling out that kind of an online store, and yeah, we're yet to see how it will do during COVID and beyond the COVID times.
Yeah, interesting. But it is, in a lot of ways, I would agree with you. It is a lot more easy to kind of get started then and on a smaller budget. And it definitely does lower the barriers to entry. But at the same time, Facebook is a very passive market. And there's quite a bit of competition. I mean, because everyone is online right now, I think a lot of people are struggling to actually get engagement on their Facebook pages, get, you know, that consistency on their brands. We've ourselves have launched like a free design school to just help people with their social media posts. But from a marketing perspective, what are your tips regarding that for business owners that are trying to get started on Facebook in terms of COVID-19 now?
Yeah, so my perspective around it has always been that I think it's that time now where we need to sort of have that distinction and that approach where you're not only having a sort of sales and marketing approach to marketing, but you rather are having, you know, even some form of a branding approach. So I'd say that businesses now need to, you know, look at specifically their mission and what they want to be building. So the sort of the brand architecture things now start to be very important. You know, if what is your business mission and can you sort of get online aligning with that, because of the clutter that we are seeing on social now, it is about, you know, who's gonna tell that resonating message, who's gonna whose business was found with a strong vision and a mission, and who's a business is now going to appeal to a whole lot of people. So I think before even just going out there and saying that this is what I'm going to post, you know, how I'm going to post, I would say that you need to be able to interrogate, you know, your founding principle. I think, you know, go even to an extent of going to listen to guys such as Simon Sinek, who speaks with, you know, starting with why. So that your message will now be coming from a heart-to-heart kind of approach. And then when you come into the way in which you design your content, it needs to also resonate in that way, in that empathetic way, in that, you know, heart-to-heart kind of way. And then, you know, in that way, you would not only be selling a product to people, because that's the other thing, is that, you know, how often sales and marketing has been approached is when people have not a I'm solving a problem approach, but they are rather saying that I want to sell to you, you know. But you're just saying to me, this is what I'm selling to you, but you're not saying this is how this will solve your problem and this is why we founded the company. So I think that the brand, you know, strategies are now need to be that strong, and the solution-driven approaches need to come out as strong.
So interestingly, something that I've also learned with my time at Printulu is basically the best way to approach this is to take features, right? So for example, the features that you think makes your business special and turning those into benefits. So doing kind of a reworking it backwards and looking at what benefits you're offering and what problems you're actually solving, instead of just trying to sell the features that your business has, because that doesn't resonate really with anyone. And also a big portion, I don't know if you agree with me, a big portion of the market isn't necessarily that problem aware, that they know exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah, I think it's a maybe what you're looking for is there's a strategy concept that starts with, you know, when you start a business, you need to think of, you know, what are the jobs that people are doing that your business is coming to solve, you know. So the the elements that you are being able to solve into that. You know, so that not only says that you have a business with these products, but rather it's saying that you saw this demand in the market, and then now your business is able to fulfill that demand. You know, so that I've seen, one would realize, and I think if even if we were to be able to code a lot of unicorns and a lot of brands that have existed for long, you would understand that it was because of an ability to sort of close that gap that has been there in the market, that their marketing has also been able to resonate with people. I think brands that come to mind, your Nikes and your people, it's because of that aspect of saying that they have been able to relate their brands to the challenges that the market is facing largely.
Would you say that because I don't want to sound insensitive, obviously COVID-19 right now is horrible and a lot of businesses are really struggling, people are struggling, but would you say that there is an opportunity potentially then in that to kind of revamp your brand, to kind of change how you tell your story, or to kind of appeal to customers in the sense that you're empathetic and you are kind of in tune with their needs right now?
I think the biggest opportunity is that there are learnings as to how and I think let's be realistic, the way in which right now a lot of brands are approaching this whole thing in an empathetic manner. In certain industries, that's how they should have been approaching it, but people have just been negligent towards it. I mean, it's like you don't just get on to a guy or girl randomly at the mall and say to them that, hey, I want to marry you. You get to know that. You get to do all sort of things. So that's how businesses should have initially been approaching this. But, now I would say that, COVID-19 is giving us that chance to say, let us rework this thing and then be able to ultimately, do marketing in a right way, do marketing that is, solutions oriented, not just to say that, how can I convert this client? I was listening to someone who was speaking about how you need to be thinking of how to make people come to your product, but at the same time, you also need to be thinking about how to make them stay, So I think COVID-19 would be that time to say that it's, you are able to come up with marketing strategies that would allow you, through you being relevant, empathetic, resonating with them, it's going to allow certain people to stay, to say that, oh, wow, I didn't realize that actually I like this brand because of the way they approached this whole COVID-19 situation.
Absolutely. So do you think that marketing is going to change going forward now, if we consider what we just mentioned, that people are definitely being more empathetic now and they're changing their approach? Do you think it's going to change going forward as well? Do you think it's going to stick?
Yeah, so I think where we're sitting now is that we're not only saying that these are the things that we're doing. Some brands are saying that in the next 5 years this is what we will be doing. So it's definitely going to change, because also the things that we are doing now are sort of going to stay with us, to say that, oh no, but when we did this campaign, when we advised people on these things, we were able to get this kind of engagement and reach, and therefore now let's do it. So now it's not going to be that we only are having this form of being a humanitarian to people only around Mandela Day, but it's now going to be that a long-term thing. I definitely think that marketing practitioners now are going to take this thing and say, let's, from the lessons that we had when there was, COVID-19 at a high rate, and now let's, start applying this. So it's gonna change in such a way that it's gonna be good for the industry, I think.
Definitely, yeah. I think a lot of people are really enjoying really interacting with their brands a lot more and seeing kind of the personality behind the picture, if I can put it that way.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying, that that's what should have been happening even before. You know, you needed to be able to bring that charm into the whole situation. But most brands were sort of, you know, looking at the revenue side of things, and now it's a thing of, okay, you need to rework, you know, that charm. So I think that the fact that brands would have reworked the relationship with their potential clients, it's going to be very good for the industry.
Mm. So let's dig a little deeper into that. If you are a business now or a business owner, and obviously your budget is probably going to be quite tight. So I think a lot of businesses are looking at marketing that doesn't necessarily cost anything. What would you say is the best way to build your brand and to build your story without spending too much money on marketing and ad spend right now?
I think I would advise most brands to go the content marketing route. You know, even if you were not, you know, writing articles that were advising people, even if you were not having content that was more sort of around just making sure that you are top of mind, this is now the time to say that, you know, within your industry, what can you be doing to make sure that there is some form of content that you are getting out there, so that even by the time, even if people are right now, your business is in industries that are not considered essential, but what you are now doing is to say that you are still remaining top of mind. I think it's a thing of, you know, ramp up a bit on the amount of content that you're doing, and content that is, you know, sort of informative, educational, and maybe a bit entertaining at certain instances, so that you can now stay top of mind and be that person who, you know, your potential clients see as the person who's advising them. And then in that way, if going forward, you would have built up a very good audience for your business. And when there is enough money circulating around, then you would be the first one to consider for people to be able to buy from.
So when we talk about content marketing, obviously a lot of people immediately think blogs. I do think blogging is definitely a good option, especially if you have a capable writer on your team or you yourself are a capable writer.
Correct.
But obviously the content, as you mentioned, needs to be informative. It needs to be adding value and it needs to be high quality. But what other types of content are we looking at here if we're talking about content marketing on a limited budget besides blogging?
Yeah, so I think also even before we consider, you know, the type of content marketing that we go for, one needs to be able to be aware of the type of places where, you know, their potential market would be living on. You know, I always say that you have to, even before thinking of the content marketing piece that you do, also be thinking around the... You need to be thinking around how you're going to distribute it. So, for example, if you are a B2B business, then you're better off considering that, okay, ultimately I'm going to be able to distribute my content through LinkedIn, you know. So, or if you are a local shop or beauty shop, then, you know, Instagram would be good for you, or, you know, if Facebook would be relevant. So I think it's a thing of how am I going to distribute it. And then through there, then, I mean, some products people might not be just be able to receive them through blogs. You know, I'd say also consider some bit of video, because, you know, video is now starting also become a big phenomenon. I mean, you know, hey, TikTok. and YouTube is also starting to be that much popular, as we are seeing data prices fall, if I can use that word, in South Africa. So you know, it's a thing of considering that what kind of business do you run, where would your target market mostly be? And then, you know, if you are targeting, you know, your high LSM and a deeper type of details content, then yes, blogging would be for you. But if you are targeting people who would be more sort of engaging in terms of videos, then video would be for you. So consider podcasts as well. I think podcasts are starting now to gain some form of prominence. We've seen a lot of brands now sort of go live on Instagram, especially, and also, you know, some have even went to up to an extent of engaging with their users through Zoom and, you know, Hangout or Microsoft Teams and the likes. So it's a thing of what kind of content, what kind of client do you have that would then be relevant? And I think even, you know, the good old way of just writing text, you know, you can do threads on Twitter. You know, I've seen those being very effective, or normal slider videos. And I think also, you know, the fact that you can be able to play around with some form of pictures, let's say five tips, health tips or whatever, and then people being able to swipe around there, that would also be a great piece of content, especially for Facebook and Instagram, you know.
The carousel images, yeah.
So it's just that thing of understanding your distribution, understanding your market, and then, you know, sort of going out there. And I think all those, from a cost perspective, one can be able to do them in-house, which would reduce the cost.
Yeah. So I think that's really, that's great insight. I mean, we're looking, there's so much that you can do. You can, as you mentioned, do the Instagram posts. You can go live. On Facebook, we're going live a lot. So really, if you want to go check it out, please go check us out. I'm in all the videos. I'm becoming a superstar.
Very soon we'll be asking for an autograph.
Yeah, you see. No, but you know, it's great because focusing on that one channel has, for a small team that's at the moment, you know, we're spreading ourselves quite thin trying to get orders out and also trying to manage marketing on a limited budget. And I think this is the case for a lot of businesses. And it's just been really great to see the kind of engagement and the kind of relationship building that's happening if you focus on one channel. So I definitely agree with you. If you can't necessarily, don't necessarily try to now do everything.
Correct.
Focus on one or two channels where you think you're going to be doing the most damage, if I can put it that way, getting the best effect, and really focus on adding value. I mean, our live videos at the moment are mostly focused on just answering questions and kind of frequently asked questions that we've gotten a lot over the years, but we've never really fully answered besides on a blog post, and it's working quite well. So I definitely recommend that.
yeah, and also, I mean, people now are at home. Most of them are not really busy, so it gives them time to then say, okay, I've always been curious what this business is about or wanted to ask them something, but I just never had the time or got the chance, and now is that time to have, you know, some form of captive audience. But I do also advise a lot of people now to say that, you know, that maybe now is also that time to be building those databases, you know. So if you have that opportunity to then say, okay, now that I've got most people's attention, and now that, you know, most people are realizing that they actually have a huge interest in my product, it is now time to be saying to them, okay, you know, can we, you be able to subscribe to our mailing list or things like that, so that then they sort of stay within your contacts and your contact details for long, and especially if you've got, let's say, a super valuable and, you know, ad-valuing newsletter and blogs or those type of things, then in that way you will be able to have people's attention for a very long time, you know. Because truth is, at the moment, as much as there is an audience that is available, that will fade away, and only those who were really adding value and not necessarily doing, you know, adopting certain marketing strategies because they've got their attention or because there was the hype, will be able to actually stay through till the end.
So definitely lead generation while you have that captive audience. But what would your suggestion be in regards to the audience that you already have? So in terms of lead nurturing, you know, the people that are already in your mailing list, etc.?
I think people who are already there in that from a lead nurturing perspective, it's a matter of being able to provide them with much better information than you think they knew. You know how you'd find that you've had certain products, but people were not necessarily fully aware of them. So now you are saying, okay, this is now that I've got your attention and, you know, the time, did you know that we have 1, 2, 3 as well? Did you know that we are able to do this? We have this full packages that we are offering, you know. So that gives you a chance now to almost not just be able to be giving them what they've always had, but also to, and I mean, even if the certain services were sort of not available in a bundled way, that's now a chance to say, you know, if you wanted to print 1, 2, 3, we can give you a combo of this, you know, those kind of things would now is the right time to be adding that. It's now time to be going back, remarketing to people that have come to your site, you know. So that aspect of installing pixels and doing all sorts of things, it's that time now to say that, okay, now that we are aware that you probably would be able to pay attention to us as you have before, these are the kind of things that we have in store over and above what you've come through to us before for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Marilla, I'm going to put you in the hot seat now. I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
All right. So you obviously come from a mostly digital marketing background, right? And because we're seeing so many people move online, I think the focus has been very much on online media and digital marketing in an online space. However, coming from a print perspective now, especially a company like Printulu that really does believe that omnichannel is the best approach, would you agree with that? Do you think that there is a space for print going forward? Do you think businesses can still benefit from this kind of offline marketing approach?
I think the businesses can still, obviously depending on the industry that you're in as well, you know. So you would find that 90% of your advertising, your marketing needs to come from a print perspective because that's the kind of business that we are in. But I also do think that we now more than ever we need to be talking and be educating people about the whole omni-channel approach, and more than just talking about it, being able to measure it, right? So this is now the time to say that even let's say someone has a print ad, they need to now start saying that, okay, visit us on this link, so that even when they if someone visited them from a certain link and they were able to see their product, they can be able to come back and track and say, oh no, these are the people who came from our print, and therefore it worked for us in this way, you know. Yeah. So that integration and the ability to measure that integration becomes very important now more than ever. But also I do think that because of the fact that we now had a chance to be empathetic, the print's ability to be to have people, you know, hold something and be able to sort of almost be emotionally attached to it comes in, you know. So therefore, that also comes back to the whole thing that we were talking about of saying that, you know, the empathy aspect of it. So the way in which you do print is also going to matter, you know. So the kind of graphics that you use on your print ads and the type of
wording and content
that you use, and also how punchy is it and fast for people to digest and move on, you know, that those are the things that are now going to start to matter even more because people have a lot of things on their mind, you know, and also some are going through a lot. So I do think that, yeah, so it's the whole, you know, be empathetic, but also be able to bring an element of measurement to the space. Yeah.
Yeah. So QR codes, Bitly links, things like that make it measurable, essentially. and integrating that into your full marketing campaign.
Correct. So it's not, I mean, often people, when they talk about digital marketing, they sort of almost forget that, you know, some businesses would need to have an integrated type of approach. Yes, the sometimes they are sort of lower costs, you know, because there's not almost sort of upfront and high costs, you know, in certain industries. But, you know, as long as you are having that sort of 360 view of what would work best, and also how, you know, what amount of budget do you need to take and be able to spread around it, then in that way, you'd have effective campaigns.
Absolutely. Rolet, thank you for joining me and sharing your fantastic knowledge. I've really enjoyed chatting with you and sharing that knowledge and wisdom with our audience. I do believe that is all we have time for today. Thank you for agreeing to speak to me after hours. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem.
But yeah, good luck with your ventures going forward. Stay safe and have a fantastic week. And yeah, good luck with everything you guys are doing over at One Over One. Yeah, it's been great chatting to you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for having me.